This is The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio. Radio the way it should be heard. And now, Mr. Neely Fuller.
If you do not understand white supremacy, which is racism, what it is and how it works, everything else that you understand will only confuse you. Only confuse you. Only confuse
you. All righty. Welcome to the second hour of The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. here on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the uncut version. We go where you go on the world's greatest radio. You're now in touch with The Compensatory Concept, and I am your co-host, Mr. Bobby, and this is Radio the Way It Should Be Heard. Our topic this week is a second topic in a row of a Q&A with Mr. Fuller. He will answer and address your questions and give you an answer. Remember, we are all learning, still learning, how to think in a codified way, and we need to practice codification every single day. I'm taking your phone calls at 1-877-932-9766. You can also view the program on YouTube by going to the YouTube channel. The YouTube channel, type in the word Talktainment, then radio, and then scroll down to Talktainment number 2, and you are there. And then for us, you can just go to the TalktainmentRadio.com homepage and hit Listen Live, and you're right there. We would prefer that you would do that, by the way. Subscribe and like that button. And also Facebook.com/ Talk to him, and you can hear the entire program. And, of course, if you want to speak with me or have Mr. Fuller, rather, answer your questions, 7MrBobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com. All right, 1-877-932-9766. Let's go to the Gmails. Brother Thompson has this. Mr. Fuller, when black males and black females get together for social reasons and they end up having sex, the female usually expects some type of ongoing relationship in return, or at least to keep having sex on a regular basis. When that doesn't happen, they get furious because they thought it was more than a one-night stand. Mr. Fuller, what does the code say about expecting a relationship from a one-night stand? From what I've read, they should not even be having sex, but since they are already, what does the code recommend? Should they just avoid each other since the black male did not want a relationship beyond friends with benefits? Thank you. Thank God I don't date. This comes from Brother George. Mr. Fuller?
In answer to the question, what we covered earlier in the first hour, and that is, not enough questions were asked and answered before you got in bed in the first place. See, disappointment comes from expectation. And expectation and disappointment are linked. You expect something to happen, and then it doesn't happen. Why? Why is it that your expectation was something that resulted and something that didn't happen? It's because you didn't have answers to questions. Why didn't you have answers to questions? The questions weren't asked. See, I mean, it should be very clear to everybody before you get in that bed. This is strictly a one-night stand for the most part, unless we got some kind of footnote, you know, that, hey, if we like each other enough from this one-night stand, it might be a two-night stand, or 10,000-night stand, or no-night stand. But right now, it's going to be a one-night stand. And that's got to be understood from the beginning. All right? And how is that understood? Because it was made clear from the beginning. What did I say in the first hour according to the code? According to the code, this is scientific. Lack of knowledge and understanding. This is what causes all arguments. And lack of knowledge and understanding comes from not enough questions being asked and answer. That's in any setting, okay. Male with female, a person on a job with the foreman of the job, not enough questions and answers. Not enough questions and answers. All conflict comes from not enough questions and answers made before the conflict can evolve, because all conflict comes from a misunderstanding, a breakdown in what people expected to happen and becoming disappointed when it didn't happen. And that is every day, all day.
Okay.
And it always comes from not enough questions asked in advance with not enough truthful answers given, because if it's not a truthful answer, it's not an answer. All right?
All right.
So that's the key. That's the key to everything. You want plenty of questions, thousands of questions if necessary. Okay. And then you make moves.
Okay.
Because then there's no lack of knowledge and understanding.
Oh, okay. Thank you for your question. All right, Mr. Fuller, this comes from the brother from the so-called concept called French Guiana, Brother Mitro, or Murto. He says this, can Mr. Fuller give more details concerning the first paragraph of the summary page 182 of the first edition of the code? I think it says this, as long as white supremacy exists, it is correct for non-white males and females to spend a very minimum amount of time, energy, money, etc., entertaining each other and or seeking, quote, personal attention, end of quote, from each other. Sincerely yours, Brother Mitro from the so-called French Guiana.
Page 181?
He said page 182 of the first edition, and I do not have that copy.
I have it here.
Okay.
And what else did he say?
I want you to explain in detail what was written in here. As long as white supremacy exists, it is correct for non-white males and females to spend a very minimum amount of time, energy, money, etc., entertaining each other and or seeking personal attention from each other.
And he wants to know the reason for it.
Yes.
Because now you're not paying attention to the system of white supremacy. This is all about you and your possible mate. And I give the movie Casablanca, which is my favorite movie, by the way. I talk about Godfather 1 and 2 a lot and Shawshank Redemption, but actually Casablanca is my favorite movie, and it's a favorite movie because it has a lot of lessons in it. And one of the lessons is that the principal characters in the movie all trying to get together, a male with a female, and because they are just what you might call crazy about each other and at their wit's end, and they want to be with each other and spend time with each other and be with each other all the time and entertain each other all the time. But at the end of the movie, the characters agree that there is something bigger than them. That's one of the main messages of that movie, Casablanca.
Uh-huh.
All right. On that tarmac, Rick Blaine, played by the character Humphrey Bogart, and Miss Bergman played the part of somebody named Ilsa, I believe. And they're talking there. And he said, the problems of these people right here, meaning me and you, and your husband, I mean, you know, these are three people trying to work out their own personal problems. They don't amount to a hill of beans in this crazy mixed up world, because we got a job to do. We got a job to do, all of us, all three of us, that's much bigger than anything that we think is all that important to us. Because nothing that we do is going to matter if we don't do this job. Now, the reason I wrote that in the textbook, that spending all your time being gaga about each other and keeping your eye on the prize, so to speak, which is replacing the system of racism with justice, that should be the priority for any two people that get together or to do anything. Ultimately, that's what it's really all about. Why? Because if you don't straighten out that, nothing that you do is going to work anyway. That's what the characters in the movie Casablanca were saying. Say, yeah, we can get all wrapped up in each other, but with the world falling apart around us, we're not going to have a world to be in with each other. So we better devote our time, entertain ourselves by working on this, solving this problem with the Nazis. Now, that was the message in that particular movie. We got to win this war. It's more important than how we feel about each other, all wrapped up and talking about whining and dining and all like that. We're not going to be whining and dining or doing anything that matters if we don't take care of the umbrella, the world situation. We can do that. We can devote our time to that. And that will be our togetherness. Since we want to be together, our togetherness will be being together on that wavelength of solving this problem, this major problem of the world at war. Okay? Now, as applied to black people, that's why that's in the area of sex. Black people, male with female or whatever, getting together with each other, but they should keep in mind, hey, whatever we do with each other ain't going to amount to a hill of beans if we don't solve this race problem, period. That should be our priority. That's our reason for getting together.
Yes, sir.
Otherwise, we don't have no business together.
Okay.
That's the message.
That's the message. Okay, TalkTainmentRadio.com is a 24/7 no-charge worldwide broadcasting facility with hosts delivering on various topics such as news, lifestyle, sports, law, health, wellness, religion, and politics. Now, here's a few that I'm going to share with you. Stairway to Heaven with Claude. Talking Sports with Mr. Bobby. Talking Sports Plus with Mr. Bobby. In fact, we did a show last night. Every 2 weeks we do one. And how about this? If you like to travel, it's your time to travel with Ricky Tice. Now, listen. All of these programs are exclusive to TalkTainmentRadio.com. And all you have to do is simply go onto the TalkTainmentRadio.com homepage. Do it. Click on programs and get a sample of how each program is. And that way you can make a decision whether you like it or don't or whatever you want to do with it. But you're not going to know unless you sample it. So give it a sample with it. And by the way, while you're there, this wasn't on the paper, but while you're there for the compensatory concept second hour, go ahead, ma'am. Go ahead, sir. Hit that go donate button. Oh, yeah, so we can keep this bad boy going. Anyway, all this is from TalkTainmentRadio.com. Radio, the way it should be heard. Again, my name is Mr. Bobby. I'm the co-host on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. We are discussing the questions that was asked or the focus that was asked last week. Q&A with Mr. Neely Fuller, Jr. And it is going so well that we extended it to this second program, and it could possibly be the third, and you are beginning to ask real good questions. So thank you. With that being said, let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you are now on with Mr. Fuller. You can be heard. What is your question?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. So, Mr. Fuller, ever since I was a young child, I've always asked people a lot of questions. And particularly among black people, whether it be family or acquaintances in the workplace, different areas of activity, it's been said to me often, you ask too many questions. you know, or you're nosy and things like that. So, and I know that you can't speak for, you know, different people and why they ask, they may respond to a question the way that they do, but I'm wondering if you could venture to answer why Black people seem to be, to shy away from answering questions that they're asked, whether it be a personal question, you know, about their life or something like that, or whether it be a question dealing with education or, you know, or something in the workplace of trying to, when a person is trying to learn something and is asked someone else, you know, for information. Why do Black people tend to shy away from answering questions?
You can ask the Black people. That's a question. See, the code says all problems, including all the, and this includes the problem of Black people not wanting to be asked questions, or they don't want to answer questions. All problems are solved through the process of questions and answers throughout the entire universe. Questions and answers, that's the only way you can solve a problem. Actually, when you say you're going to school, quote unquote, school. What is a school? It's a place where you go, or a gathering that you have, where people do what? Ask questions and get answers to the questions asked. All problems, without exception, throughout the entire universe, have always been solved through the process of questions and answers. So specifically, in answer to your question about why Black people tend to say, I don't want to answer that, or don't ask so many questions, you got to ask another question, and you ask for permission to ask that question, and that is a question. Well, can I have permission to ask you one more question? When they say you're asking too many questions, I'm giving this as an illustration. You say, hey, lady, you're asking too many questions. Then you say, well, can I get your permission to ask just one more question? Ask for that. And if they say yes, then your question is going to be what, logically speaking? How many questions are too many? Yes, you just ask them, how many questions are too many?
That's logical.
And that's a logical, see, everything in counter-racist codification is about the use of logic, which is what we haven't been using. That's why I say it's all personality-driven.
Yes.
And emotion-driven. Even today, on this program, Neely Fuller has been too animated, you might say, too emotional in answering some of the questions that are being asked. Now, that's my own judgment of myself. I have to check myself, and if I don't check myself, somebody needs to say, Mr. Fuller, you need to slow down and be more methodical and more logical in your delivery, because you are adding to the confusion by your emotional responses. Now, some people might say I'm not being overly emotional, but I say that I am. I should be like a robot.
Mm.
That's the way I would really like to answer these questions, just like a machine, just like a computer.
Mm-hmm.
All right? Why? Because it's exact. That's why. But when we let emotions get into our responses, even to answering questions like I do, I mean, that is dangerous, and it is very unhealthy. And so, yes, questions and answers. When people ask, say, or make a statement, you're asking too many questions. A professor might say that in a college. And you say, well, that's what I came here for, professor. I came here to ask questions and get answers. Otherwise, I have a question, another question, why am I here? If it's not about questions and answers. when you go to court in order to settle a case, it's all about what? If you've ever been to the courthouse, everything is about questions, answers, questions, answers, questions, answers. Where were you at 6 p.m. on October the 3rd, 1993? Take your time. See, that's a question. And sometimes a defense lawyer, for example, will say, don't answer that question. Why? Because questions always take everybody. If you keep getting answers to questions, it'll take everybody right where they should be. When you ask enough questions and get enough answers, the history of the universe has proven that everybody is taken right where everybody should be. If they ask enough questions and get enough answers, it won't take everybody where they want to be, like in a court of law. It's going to be some disgruntled people when you get all those questions answered, all right? And then it's going to be some people who are satisfied. But it's going to take everybody right where they should be, because the truth always comes out through the process of questions and answers. Oh, and that's in making inventions or anything.
Right.
That's going to the moon. You've got to start with a question, and you've got to have an answer to that question. Otherwise, you ain't going to go to the moon, and you ain't getting back.
Wow. All right. Thank you, caller, for your question.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, let's go to the Gmails. This comes from Alpha, the first one. He says, how to identify a white supremacist. He says, Mr. Fuller, I purchased the new book, and I'm waiting to purchase the word guide and the old book. I'm also donating to the second hour. Thank you for that. Recently, Mr. Fuller, it was revealed that former President Obama and Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell were both descendants of slave owners. I find this information to be hurtful and confusing. On one hand, I can understand Mitch McConnell's situation. He is a suspected open white supremacist, but President Obama's history is confusing. Now people are saying the discovery of President Obama's possible slave owner family past explains why he did not help black people while he was president. It appears Obama is a white supremacist or white supremacist sympathizer. This is the ideal confusion. Mr. Fuller, you often talk about the system of white supremacy works like a prison, and in the movie Shawshank Redemption is a good example of how the system works. I agree with you, because in the movie, the characters resemble what is happening in real life. And he goes on about the warden, Boggs, and Red, and all this, and all that kind of thing. He said the only one person left here is the question. It appears Andy Dufresne appears to represent the white people that do not believe in white supremacy. So here is the question. Where does President Obama fit in the system? Yes, he is a non-white person, but all of his actions, in my view, have been to harm non-white people across the world. How do I identify, ID a white supremacist?
Well, is he asking me
it has to be according to the code. He identified
What is the correct identity of President Barack Obama?
Well, he did ask that. He said it appears to him, but he's also intimating that he could be wrong, but it appears to him, according to what Obama has done or did do while he was in office, did not help facilitate the cause of black people. And then he found out, and I don't know where he got his information, found out that in Obama's family that there appears to be ownership of slaves, which explains why according to him, why he did not help black people. So he was asking how to identify or ID a white supremacist.
So the question is, how do you identify a white supremacist?
That is correct.
Oh, you identify a white supremacist by being, according to the code, any person classified as white should be suspected of being a white supremacist if he or she is able to be one. Now, this is based on logic. But the person, first of all, has to be white to be a white supremacist. All non-white people are victims of white supremacy and prisoners of war. Here in 2019, we are prisoners of war. So just singling out any other black person as being a person that's helping the system of white supremacy is fruitless simply because all victims of white supremacy, all prisoners of war, help to prop up the prison by being prisoners. And all prisoners of war are equal. The black people of this planet are prisoners of war. And we're all equal to each other. And it doesn't make any difference what our titles are. We don't have any power. There's any black person on the planet that has power to tell the white supremacists what they had better do, and the white supremacists have to do it. No black person on this planet called Earth can do that. Otherwise, there would be no such thing as white supremacy. There isn't a black person anywhere on this planet that can tell, stand up to the white supremacist world and say, I'm telling you, you had better do this and such according to me, or else. No black person has that kind of power. If any black person shows that kind of power, then that means that white supremacy doesn't exist. That's what white supremacy means. It means supreme over everybody who's black. No exceptions. Now, every now and then I've heard this word, some black people selling out other black person. You can't sell what you don't own. And every black person is owned by white supremacists. Every black person on the planet Earth in 2019 is owned by the White Supremacist Corporation. That's the name of that corporation, the system of white supremacy. And so you can't sell what you don't have. No black person can sell another black person out to the white supremacists, because the white supremacists already have that black person that you call being bought or sold.
Okay. Got to leave it there. TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. Podcasts are available. That's radio the way it should be heard. Stay right there. More Gmails and more callers. All that on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
TalkTainmentRadio.com is proud to present the compensatory concept. It is an effective system for countering the effects of white supremacy. TalkTainmentRadio.com is able to carry the first hour. However, the cost for the second hour is exceeding our limited budget. That is why we ask for your kind assistance in keeping the second hour on the air. If you believe like we do, help us in this struggle for justice. Go to the gold donate button on the TalkTainmentRadio.com web page and hit the gold donate button. That's the gold donate button. And please donate. Help us to keep the second hour of the compensatory concept on the air. Thank you.
The Urban Culture Arts Foundation presents Baba Shanga Obadina Pakati on Sunday, August the 18th from 4 to 7 and Saturday, August the 24th from 2 to 5. All events will occur in the William H. Thomas Art Gallery at 1270 Bryden Road. For more information, call 614-252-7525 or 614-745-1753.
For the best home fragrance and beauty products, shop Ash Kickin' online.
That's A-S-H-K-I-C-K-I-N.
Made with 100% natural quality ingredients and handcrafted with your family in mind, Ash Kickin' products are better than those other guys. Ash Kickin' candles, incense, body butter, face moisturizer, and hair moisturizer are priced just right, and you can get yours at 10% off with coupon code TALK17. Support this 100% black-owned business and get your home and body smelling and feeling all right.
That's
ASHKICKIN. Shop Ash Kickin' online at www.ashkickin.com.
Stand by for an important announcement for renters and investors.
You have probably heard about this bad economy and high foreclosure rate. I'm here to bring you hope. Every foreclosed property is a blessing or a deal for a new buyer or investor. These properties are selling every day all over Central Ohio for several reasons. They are equity rich, worth tens of thousands of dollars above their price. There is down payment money available and remodeling funds if needed. Don't let the doom and gloom news keep you from your dream of home ownership. Call Linco Realty today at 865-9614. That's 865-9614. Call now. Always remember, these times, like all times, are good times if we but know what to do with them. They also have programs for investors who want to get off the couch and run with the big dogs. Call Linco today at 865-9614 or log on to repohomeslist.com.
This is Al Edmondson, owner of A Cut Above the Rest Barbershop. I'm calling on all barbers and beauticians. It's time for us to unite as one. We can serve our communities better together. Join the Ohio Black Barber Beauty Network. For more information, visit www.obbn.org or call 614-427-3226 to get more information. Be the change that you want to see in your community. Join our network.
Looking for something special for your club or group? Take a trip. Cruise Planners will help you plan the event of a lifetime. Explore exotic places from Africa to Asia, Bermuda to Las Vegas to Hawaii, with special offers that make it affordable and exciting. Click on to www.greatgetawaytrips.com for great deals or call today at 614-707-SHIP. That's 614-707-7447.
Sex Code War by Kahari Inaharo, the author of the Essence magazine bestseller Race Code War, is releasing his second book, Sex Code War. Be on the lookout for Sex Code War.
If you or someone you know is abusing drugs and or alcohol and want to stop the abuse, contact APDS at 1409 East Livingston Avenue. Office hours are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. daily and 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday. APDS is certified by the Ohio Department of Mental Health and Addiction Services and primarily funded through the Adam H. Board. Fees are based on your income and Medicaid is always accepted. For more information, call 614-253-4448.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring. It's volunteering in your community. It's shoveling a neighbor's snow or cutting an elderly person's grass for them or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
The SCORE Association, Service Corps of Retired Executives, was formed in 1964 as a nonprofit association dedicated to the entrepreneurial education and the formation, growth, and success of small businesses nationwide. More than 10,500 volunteer members provide individual counseling, mentoring, and business workshops for aspiring entrepreneurs and small business owners. The association is headquartered in Washington, D.C., with 389 chapters throughout the United States and its territories. For more national information, contact SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. Again, that's SCORE's Public Relations Manager at 1-800-634-0245. This has been a public service announcement from TalkTainmentRadio.com.
Live call-in talk show, dial 1-877-932-9766 and join the conversation here on TalkTainmentRadio.com.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
Go ahead. Make my day.
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You got the power.
TalkTainmentRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTainmentRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby, the co-host on The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller Jr. And our topic for this week is Q&A with Mr. Fuller. And I got a strong suspicion that it may be the topic next week because of our listeners. You are coming strong. You're coming with it. Thank you so much. Q&A, 1-877-932-9766 is the number that you can call. Also, you can Gmail me, but I won't read it today. The numeral 7, Mr. Bobby, B-O-B-B-Y, at gmail.com, and I will get to it in order. Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you are now on with Mr. Fuller, and you can be heard. What is your question?
Okay. Greetings, Mr. Fuller, Mr. Bobby. Calling here from Texas, actually Galveston. And I don't know if you guys have been watching the news lately in regards to an image that was really being circulated nationally. There was a guy who was mentally challenged, and he was handcuffed and not really dragged, but guided by a rope and two police officers on horses. Have you seen this or no?
I'm aware of it. Mr. Fuller, are you aware of it?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay. All right. And I'm here, and, you know, it's a bunch of, you know, commotion going on. And we actually have a meeting with the police chief. And I'm just curious, Mr. Fuller, to know what your advice be going into a meeting with the police chief and talking about this incident. And I also have another question, too. That's just a small, you know, specific question. I have a big picture question as well.
Same thing you're doing now on this program. Go and ask them, is this the procedure? For everybody, is this going to be the procedure? Do they have a procedure? If they don't have a procedure for making an arrest, what is it?
So you're asking questions.
Or can they get one? Mm-hmm. All problems are solved. So stay in the question lane. No shouting, no name calling, none of that. Do none of that. Stay in the question lane. Why? Because according to compensatory counter-racist logic, all problems are solved through the process of questions and answers. There are no exceptions in the universe to that concept. And so when you go and talk to the police chief or whomever, whoever the authority is, quote unquote, it's nothing but questions and you seek answers. And it should be endless questions. And don't interfere with the answers that you get. Just have the next question ready. Because if you interfere with the answer, you'll probably be talking about what you think ought to be done. All right? But that's not what you're there for. You're there to see what they are willing to do and what they have planned to do. All right? And that you'll find that out by the answers that you get.
Okay.
Don't interfere with the answers. Just have the next question ready. That's the compensatory way. Okay. That's the counter-racist way.
Okay.
All right? Well, and that's what I would do if I was there.
Yes.
And I was in that setting. Okay. I would go in with nothing but questions and just record the questions and the answers.
Yeah.
The question, always get a record of the questions and the answers, but have hundreds of questions, if you can probably think of that many, that you think are necessary, and let them answer the questions.
And let them answer the questions.
Okay, mm-hmm. If they say that, if the answer is, for example, well, we didn't really have a procedure, and that's why what happened happened. You say, all right, when can you get a procedure, and what will it be? And what's the deadline for having the procedure ready?
I see what you're
so
saying.
So that we can have something. So you want to be able to correct every situation that's not correct.
Okay.
And then shouting and name calling, you won't make most of the mileage you're looking for out of this.
Yes, sir.
But through the process of questions and answers, if somebody's trying to do something that they shouldn't be trying to do, that's going to come out through the process of questions and answers.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. What's your second question, sir?
Yeah. Okay. And second question is more of a wider scope question. When it comes to, I hear you, Mr. Fuller, talking a lot about, thought, speech, and action. And I think, really deeply about this. And when it comes to, the thought, speech, and action, when it comes to black people, my question is, ultimately, when we look at these behaviors and these actions that are, done by black people, who are, in your words, poisoned, and this is a tough question. I don't know. I hope it doesn't sound too bad. But because of these actions, is there a rightful place for black people, being where they are because of these thoughts and actions, the things that people do. I hear quite frequently, you talk about the things that, that we do that are not in line with what should be done. So for me, that says that, okay, if you have, people that are doing things that are not in line with, logic or the rules of the universe, then in essence, those people have a place, right? And some would say, it's like a classroom. If you have a kid in class that's not following the rules and not doing the things that they're supposed to do, then, they either, put out or they, go to the end of the line, or whatever it is. So, what are your thoughts about that? When it comes to, doing the wrong thing, if you're doing the wrong thing all the time, then is it right for your place world to be at the bottom?
Okay. Mr. Fuller, go ahead, please.
I hope I understand the question.
Yeah, because you did ask a lot of things in there.
But to try to get right to the core, I think, according to the code, everything is divided into one of two, only two, nothing in between, categories. Constructive, non-constructive.
Go ahead, Mr.
Constructive.
Fuller.
Non-constructive. That's all. Every move that every creature makes, every minute of every day, is going to have a constructive effect or a non-constructive effect. And how do you know the difference between what's constructive and what's non-constructive? By the effect. If it corrects a problem, then that's in a constructive manner, in a manner where no one is harmed, that shouldn't be harmed, and that the person that needs help the most gets the most constructive help, then that is constructive. That would be constructive. Anything other than that is non-constructive. You're talking about effect. So that's all you have to do in any situation. And you raise that question. Getting to that question again, you just say, sir, ma'am, in any situation, this thing that you're talking about doing, or this thing that you did, or this thing that you're going to do, is it going to have a constructive effect or a non-constructive effect? And if it's going to have a constructive effect, constructive how? Have them go into details. You have to have the details. And if it's going to have a non-constructive effect, well, the non-constructive effect will really show up anyway. But they can tell you.
Okay.
But they should be aiming for a constructive effect. You want an answer to that question?
Yes, sir.
Sir, ma'am, this thing that you're talking about doing, this proposal that you are going along with or that you initiated, is it going to have a constructive effect or a non-constructive effect? And if it's going to have a constructive effect, ma'am, sir, always be polite, how is it going to be constructive?
Okay.
In other words, you want to know what the results are before you even go down that road.
Okay. Before we talk about your book, Mr. Fuller, because it is time, I have just received a Gmail from one of our regular listeners, and according to the Gmail, he has sent an excerpt of your book, Mr. Nellie Fuller Jr., of the United Independent Compensatory Code System Concept, said that he sent an excerpt of certain quotations of your book to the White House on racism. So if this is a true statement, I'm not going to say that the White House is going to read it, but this gentleman had mentioned that an excerpt was sent to them along with the website where they can purchase the book. How about that, if this is true? So we will have to see if what's going on with that. I don't know what that means, or I don't know what it doesn't mean. But this is what I do know. It is at this time that we talk about your book. TalkTamatRadio.com. We go where you go. Download the TalkTamatRadio.com app to your cell or to your tablet. That's radio the way it should be heard. My name is Mr. Bobby, co-host on the Compensatory Concept with Mr. Nellie Fuller Jr. Our topic is today the Q&A with Mr. Fuller. But it is at this time where Mr. Fuller will talk about his book, where you can purchase it, any information about the formal book, any information that you feel is pertinent. Mr. Fuller, take it away.
You can get the book by going to producejustice.com. That's producejustice.com. producejustice.com. And what will come up on the screen is a brief description of the basic textbook, because that's the only one that's up there right now. The other books will be available in about 3 weeks, the original and the word guide. Right now we have a glitch in distribution, but the 2016 revised expanded edition is there.
Okay.
At that site.
Good.
producejustice.com. You can get it by going to that producejustice.com, and the book will be available there. And the book is designed for the individual person to become his or her own leader in doing what? Solving whatever problem you happen to have. That's what I wrote the book for. Whatever problem you're facing on a daily basis, because the concept is, if you solve the problem of each and every individual black person on the entire planet, all of the non-white people, all of the victims of white supremacy on the planet, if you solve the problem of each individual person, you automatically have solved the problems of all of the persons on the planet. That's the concept. So you as an individual, you're only an individual. You're not really having any power over anybody else, but you got a little power for yourself. So the code book is designed to help the individual person without having to consult anybody about what to do. Look over your shoulder and look and see if anybody's with you. Just go for yourself. Solve your own problem as best you can in the environment that you're in. That's what the book is written for.
Okay.
Go to producejustice.com.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. Okay. This is from the Gmails. It says this. Thank you, Mr. Fuller. When you get the old book and the word guide in stock, can you announce it? I work later hours, so sometimes I have to listen to the playback. Thank you. Many are comparing our current president with former President Reagan. I'm too young to know about the former President Reagan, so I did some research in the article, and I was reading about former President Reagan, and I found a definition of the word racist, and it is stated as follows. Racist, by definition, are people who use slurs, not people who make disciplinary policy to enrich their group. Question. According to the code, Mr. Fuller, does this definition of a racist is in agreement with the code?
Could be and might not be, but I'll just go directly to what the code says flat out is racism and what a racist is. A racist is a white supremacist, and a white supremacist is a racist. Why? Because in a world that's dominated by white supremacy, you only have a white supremacist as the only racist. There's no such thing as black supremacy and white supremacy in the same universe at the same time. It doesn't work that way. You can't have two supremes unless you're talking about a singing group or something like that. But if you're talking about racism, if you're talking about white supremacy, according to the code, it's just one supreme, and that is the white people, those white people, not all white people, but those white people who believe in and who practice non-justice against non-white people, those are white supremacists. And that's the only show in town. So racism is white supremacy. White supremacy is racism. In fact, the only race of people, according to the code and according to logic, on the planet, the only race of people is the white race. There's no black race, yellow race, tan race, brown race. There's no race of people like that. That's the white supremacist saying that there is. But the white supremacists will say anything that will keep them in power,
yes.
And that helps to keep them in power.
Okay.
Because it's confusing.
Mm-hmm.
But the only race is the white race.
Okay.
And they are white supremacists.
All right.
They practice racism. That's the only form of racism that exists on the planet in 2019.
Okay.
Is white supremacy.
He goes on to say, Mr. Fuller, I tried to order the word guide, but the website still says the word guide is sold out. I really would appreciate a clear definition on the words racist and racism because I am confused with how the news media is using these words. Thank you very much, Mr. Fuller.
Well, it's your option to accept it or reject how the so-called quote-unquote news media, because now it comes down to what's the definition of the news media? Is Neely Fuller part of the news media? Does Neely Fuller say anything that's new? And what do you mean by new and media?
Mm-hmm.
See, words are very important.
Right.
All right, so you take every word apart.
Okay.
Now, if someone says news media, which is something I don't do, by the way, I don't use the term news media. Why? Because I don't know what it means. And if anybody says I'm the news media, I'm going to ask them, because the code says all problems are solved through what?
Questions and answers. Mm-hmm.
Anybody who comes to me and say, hi, I'm the news media.
Okay.
I'm going to say, wait a minute, sir. What do you mean by news? And what do you mean by media? And what do you mean by you are the news media?
Okay.
Those are three questions before we get any further. I want to make sure of who I'm talking to and what all that means.
Okay.
I'm the news media.
Absolutely. Okay. Before we go on here, here's one that might be right in here. It says, greetings, Mr. Fuller. Part of the code reminds us to pay close attention to words that are used by everyone, especially suspected racist white supremacists. The system of racist white supremacists may change certain words, but does the intent of the words used to change? But what is the intent of the words used change? I'm hearing a lot more, quote, white nationalism, end of that quote. Thought, though I have yet to hear a definition of the phrase instead of white supremacy. Another observation, Mr. Fuller, in less than 48 hours, I'm hearing some people say the shooters suffered from, quote, mental illness, end of that quote. Does anyone say any of the suspected shooters in Chicago are suffering from mental illness? Dr. Francis Cress-Welsing says, we are all suffering from mental illness, especially the victims of racism, white supremacy. Mr. Fuller?
Yes, I say that in my textbook. But I'm talking from Neely Fuller's perspective. Because, see, I explain the words that I use. So what does the code say? When anybody uses a term, you don't think about what you mean when you say it. Think about what they mean when they say it. And how are you going to think about what another person means when they say anything? How are you going to find out what that person means? Through the process of what?
Questions and answers.
Questions and answers. So if a person says, hey, the persons who did this and that and the other is mentally ill, sir, ma'am, my question is, what do you mean when you say that that person that you are talking about is, quote, mentally ill? What do you mean? Give me the definition according to you, since you're doing the talking. See, everybody might have their own definition. That's where you have what? Confusion.
Confusion.
All right. So the way to get rid of confusion is through the process of doing what?
Questions and answers.
Questions and answers. Just ask them. Ask the person doing the talking. Regardless of what everybody else says, the person doing the talking, if they use the term mentally ill, you say, hold it right there, sir, so that we all be on the same page, meaning I understand what you're saying and you understand what I say when I say what I got to say. Now, I want to know what you mean, sir, or ma'am, or whomever it is, what you mean when you say or when you use the term mentally ill.
Yes.
What is your definition?
Yes.
And don't interfere with their answer.
Yes.
You already know what you think.
Yes.
But you want to know what they are saying.
Yes. Because when I looked at the account of that, that question was not asked. What do you mean when you say mental ill? You're right, Mr. Fuller. That question was not asked. So I don't know what that means.
It's the same as the term white nationalism and all
right.
Like that. What do you mean? You
yes.
say, well, we're not white supremacists. We are white nationalists.
Yeah, what the so hell is that?
If I'm talking to a person and that person makes a statement, according to the code, I'm duty-bound to say, okay, just a moment, sir, if you don't mind. What do you mean when you say white supremacists, and what do you mean when you say white nationalists?
Wow.
And what is the difference between the two?
That's why we have to speak in codification. Mr. Fuller.
Keep asking questions,
yes, sir.
Folks. Everybody out there.
Yes, sir.
Ask questions. Have a million of them ready.
All right. Mr. Right. Fuller, my callers or callers, thank you so much for calling in. TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio, radio the way it should be heard. Thank you again, Mr. Fuller. Thank you, callers. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to The Compensatory Concept with Mr. Neely Fuller, heard exclusively on TalkTainmentRadio.com, the world's greatest radio.
The most important question in all racial matters is why. One should always ask it.
Radio, the way it should be heard.
You've got the power. The world's greatest radio. TalkTainmentRadio.com.